Hello, this is Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
This is
Inflight Entertainment, the Throwback Thursday animated family film episode.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. What did we say on Tuesday? Family friendly film.
Yes, the triple F. We're going to have triple F on you guys. Family friendly films.
Yeah. And we are, Tuesday was sort of a throwback, but not as much of a throwback as today. So this is the throwback episode.
About like about 2 years, I think.
Right. We're in 82 versus 85.
Right. Yeah, about 2 years. Yep. Yes. So what came out that we're about to review?
I mean, before we get into it, I'm gonna speak to the director for 1 second. His name is Don Bluth.
Yes.
And when his name came up in the credits, I was like, what? The family from Arrested Development did this movie, and I went off in this weird mental space.
Not Michael Bluth.
Distracted in the entire movie. And then I came back and I was like, right, that's a fictional family. That's not a real family. But.
Were you drinking?
I mean, I think that I've just been working so many hours lately. I'm just a little bit fried. And so when I saw the word Bluth, I was like, yes, bring on Arrested Development. What am I watching?
You thought you would have seen a banana stand in the forest?
I mean, I was kind of hoping for it.
I made a huge mistake.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Right.
A little bit of Buster, Tobias, exactly. George, Lucille. All right.
And sometimes Carl Weathers.
Exactly, yes. But we were in an animated world and not the world of
No, we're not.
And so we were in the 1982 animated world of what happens when rats escape a medical facility called NIM.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? We are in the secret of NIM, the 1982 classic of field mice and rats and owls and...
Yeah.
Crows and so many other things.
Yeah, owl and cats that's bigger than dogs.
We cannot forget the raven, the black raven.
Yes, voiced by the legend, the legendary Dom DeLuise. May he rest in peace.
Right. And as I was watching this, I was like, the Little Mermaid ripped off everything from this character. Everything.
Well, I mean, it's all in-house. It's all Disney. Whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they just go into their archive and be like, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. No, you're right. I stand corrected. I'm so sorry. No, this is not Disney. This is not.
Oh, it's not Disney.
No, I keep forgetting because Don Bluth never did animation for Disney.
Right. This week we're stepping away from Disney. Everything we've done so far, you can find on Disney Plus. Today, you can find The Secret of NIM is currently available on Amazon Prime if you have that.
Yes.
Definitely. Otherwise, I'm sure you can rent it somewhere.
Or maybe like your kids, maybe your father or grandfather might have a DVD or copy of the VHS in attics or basements. And you can access it.
What's great about The Secret of Nim, it is a hero story, but it is more of a hero story from a female's perspective than it from the typical male perspective. So it's actually, she's discovering everything that she can do to save not only her family, but other people.
Exactly. Okay, so before we dive into it, I definitely want to pick up on the statement you made about Miss Bixby. What's her name? Bixby? Bixby. That was his name?
Oh, the mom. Yeah. Bixby. Yeah.
Brisby. Yes. Brisby. All right. So, like Jenna said, this film came out July 16th, 1982. So, the TV shows from 5 to 1. Man, Dynasty dropped all the way to number 5, huh? Magnum P.I. was number 4.
Yes!
Right, yep.
It was hot. I mean, in 82, I was like, yes.
Yeah, he was in Hawaii. He had that porn stash. He was driving the red Ferrari. Like, come on.
Also, Magnum P.I. Helped Ferrari get back on the map for, like, a sexy vehicle. Mm-hmm. Sexy, powerful car. So, kudos to Magnum P.I. for doing that for Ferrari.
Yes. You did Ferrari a service.
My nerdy car thing.
True. But, no, it was good. Another gentleman tidbit. So, where were we at? JR and the Gang, Dallas, number 2. And 60 Minutes, number 1. This one, we wanted it to be informed. Damn it.
I mean, I definitely remember hanging out at my grandparents on Sunday nights and, like, dinner had to be served before 60 Minutes came on so we could all watch 60 Minutes together.
Yeah.
Maybe not kid-friendly viewing, but, hey, I'm sure I'd learn some shit.
Exactly. I can be, be aware of, neighborhood rapists. I don't know. They had some crazy expose on stuff.
Before we get into, like, the movie or anything else, can we just call out that Shannon Doherty and Will Wheaton were in this movie?
We totally should. Yes. But they were the voice of the kid, like one of the kids, right?
They were the kids in the movie.
That's so funny.
So Will Wheaton was on Star Trek The Next Generation, he played a mouse. And before Shannon Doherty was on 90210, she played a mouse.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got to start somewhere in your career. You know what I mean? to be a voice talent on Secret, then you'd be like, hey, I was the voice of one of the characters in Secret. And it was like, you get street cred with the nerds.
I feel like Will Wheaton gets a lot of street cred for Star Trek The Next Gen. Also, a lot of, like, he gets teased about that a lot.
Yeah.
And it's Shannon Doherty because she was on
90210?
No, Charmed. She was on Charmed.
Gotcha. Yeah, yes. I thought she was in 90210.
Well, she was on 90210. So I mean, they're both Tori's, not Tori Spelling, the spelling, the dad's name.
Aaron?
They're both spelling, Aaron Spelling, Productions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's cool. You let your little young voice to these characters that's immortalized and, loved and revered as far as the film. Oh, okay. And the number one song in 82. All right. Actually, I'm just going to say like the first couple lines and see if you can get it. I'm going to give you the lyrics as an argument. You were working as a waitress at a cocktail bar before I met you.
Yes. It's like a bad relationship song. Oh.
uh, what is it? I picked you up. I turned you around, built you into someone new. Now you got it all. You got the world at your feet. Success is just so easy for you. But don't forget who put you there now, and I could put you back there too. Genoa, don't you want me? You know I don't believe you when you say you don't need me. Don't.
Is that the song?
Yes.
Don't you want me?
Yes. Don't you want me, baby? That was a joy.
You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, I felt that song was very romantic. As a woman in the 2000s, I listened to that song.
Yeah.
And all I can feel is a very controlling male, stalker-ish.
Oh, totally.
Tendencies. And why did we listen to that?
And in the song, he's kind of schizoid, right? He come in hot. He was like, hey, you were where you got before I met you. Blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, don't you want me?
Right. Well, I mean, he's a bit of a narcissist.
Yeah, I think he's kind of bipolar, I think.
I feel like there's so many new movies and songs from the 80s where you go back and listen, you're like, oh. don't go there.
Yeah, you know. It was the MTV generation, whatever.
I mean, I still know every word to that song. And the only difference is when I sing it now, my skin crawls. And I was like, oh, it feels so romantic.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny when you sing it, like, especially on the guys end. It's like, this dude was a dick.
I mean, the good thing about that song is that the woman is like, you're crazy.
Exactly.
Right. I need you.
Exactly. It's like, get your crazy ass away from me somehow. And then he just still like, don't you want me, baby? Don't you want you? Oh! Don't you want me? And then he's like, is he like hurting himself? He like, oh. Like, I mean, is he a masochist too on top of being bipolar, on top of being a songer? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely, I feel like that song is an opportunity for someone who's getting their master's in psychology to write a nice dissertation on that song. So.
Yes, because it's a lot of layers to peel on the lyrical content of that song. But yeah, so sorry. I don't know why we go to these. I always go to these crazy 80 sidebars. But also in 82, a film directed by Don Bluth that we're about to review called The Secret in Him. Boom. Yes. Let's bring it back around.
It is about a field mouse whose ill son cannot be moved. And, okay, the description on IMDb does not do the movie justice. The IMDb description is, to save her ill son, a field mouse must seek the aid of a colony of rats with whom she has a deeper link than she ever suspected. That's just falling so short on the film. Mm-hmm. But... Mm-hmm. It's basically a field mouse whose son is very ill and cannot be moved. The family must be moved before the farmer comes and plows the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she goes and seeks the aid of everyone that she's connected to, and they keep sending her to more and more people to connect to. And then she eventually connects with the colony of rats who've escaped from a dark secret.
Science and space. Animal testing. Such a profound commentary on animal testing in this film.
Right. As I was watching this, I was like, no wonder why so many Gen X people are PETA. Was that not the lesson I was supposed to learned from this movie. I was like, PETA, I get it now.
Exactly. Yeah, take my donations. Yeah, so Nim, you know.
I will, I'm going to go cook a steak later on. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I had chicken, sorry. But I would love to have a steak.
I mean, I had chicken quesadillas for lunch, but yes, steak for dinner.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I just can't go against my nature, which is I'm a caveman. I'm a carnivore. Humans are carnivores by nature. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. Don't go against your nature. That's what I say. So that's what I...
Yeah, my body works better when I have some animal meat in it, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, circle of life. I mean, come on. Like, y'all hypocrites. Okay, so, you know, the whole jungle thing, the whole circle of life stuff go on, but I can't circle of life this, you know? I can't help towards the equalization by eating a nice steak or chicken.
I'm all supportive of that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they want to see one side. They want to see the other side.
But as I was watching The Secret of Nim, I understood why a number of people in our generation decided to go down the PETA road.
Yeah.
Because they connected with the rats. The rats in the colony that had been tested, medical tested. Mm-hmm. They were escaping the evil humans. Mm-hmm. So I got that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, as you were describing the adventure, and before we got into the 80s, you mentioned the main character, which is, you know, Miss Brigsby, and, you know, her being, you know, like I said, okay, she was a badass mom. Like, she was like the Sarah Connor of like mice nation.
Yes. Gotta protect my boy.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying.
Wait, was she a black woman?
Who? Brigsby? Brigsby?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's black. Well, she's brown. She has brown fur. That makes her. Okay. She's a minority.
Absolutely a minority. Yep.
They live in the slums, they live in the mud.
Oh my God. I'm just connecting so many things right now. I'm sorry.
You know, like, hey, I don't want to go blackety black on y'all, but I mean, I just give y'all some, you know, some tidbits for y'all to analyze on that angle a little bit. So, anyway.
And I feel like the Aunt Shrew is like that, like, it's the Karen.
Yes.
Oh my God.
See?
Shrew is the Karen.
Anti-Shrew.
Is the Karen, yes.
You know, she ties up the raven for minding his business. The blackbird. Come on. Like, we just breaking it. Look, but Don Bluth, man, he's a prophet. He was a prophet. So, but yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of fun stuff.
So getting back to the story, now that we're stepping away from Black Lives Matter.
Think about it, people. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, the story.
You already told, like, most of the story.
I did. I mean, I feel like most people that are listening to our podcast have probably watched this movie, unlike some of the other movies that we do. So I don't feel like we have to get too much into it, but basically, Miss Brigsby, a widowed mouse... Her child is sick. She goes off to like the local doctor to get some medicine. On her way home, she meets the crow who is, if you haven't seen this movie, and you have seen The Little Mermaid, imagine the seagull from The Little Mermaid, but a bit more of a mess.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely.
And then, like, the evil, there's two layer of evil characters in the movie. There's Dragon, who's a big-ass cat. I think it's a Maine Coon cat, because it's bigger than a dog. So it's, you know, like a 25, 35-pound cat.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the humans that come from Nim, who experiment on the animals.
All right. And then... And then you have like kind of a regime plot element with the plot to kill, what's his name? What's the mouse? Necrodamos or something like that? Necrodemus? Yeah, the old wise rat that gives Brisby a stone, right? This kind of like special amulet.
Right, yeah, there's a side story where it's all the rats that escaped from the medical facility Nim. Nicodemus has been leading the rats for a while. And he has a magical stone that when someone is willing to sacrifice their whatever, because it's fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, if they have the touch, you know, they may grow. And, okay, what did you notice when... Brisby finally get to that the third act and she kind of get the power in her, you know, and she start using her like powers. Did it throw back the imagery? Did it throw you back on anything?
It didn't. Should it have?
Oh, totally. Okay, we really see like kind of the gold streak shooting behind her. It's like She-Ra transforming.
Well, then I would say She-Ra stole from the Secret of Nim.
I'm just saying, like, Don Bluth's thing. He's a prophet. Yeah, because this watch that clip again. It's like the gold kind of streaks, like kind of flashes like behind her and streaks above her. Like, you know, when She-Ra grabs the sword in the 81 and, you know, you see all the sparks and kind of flying around and outside of her. It was kind of like how it was. I'm like, dude, Brisby went full She-Ra in this movie. I'm like, that's pretty dope.
I'm visualizing it. And yes, I can see how that is all connected when I was watching it. It's been a long time. It's been like 3 years since I watched She-Ra.
Mm.
Last time I went home for Christmas, that's when I watched She-Ra because I made my nieces watch it.
As you should.
Like, let's watch Frozen. I'm like, no. No. We're watching She-Ra.
Yes. You're going to learn.
But yeah, so it's been a few years.
Yeah. But yeah, when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, she went full She-Ra. Oh my God. I never see this before. Yeah, so she saved the day, but I will be remiss to not give this movie so much props for, you know, like you mentioned, the story's focus on a widowed mother and her journey, right?
Yeah.
Like, tell me an animated movie that central character is a widowed mother with four. Four kids.
Also, like, in most, at least on the Disney side, most of the animated stories you have, the mother gets killed off, and it's like the child, and then the dad dies. It's like the parent, the child is either like orphaned, or the mother gets killed and has to deal with whatever. This is one of the few stories out there where it's a single mom trying to get shit done and not only helping her family, but helping the entire community. So, yes, this was powerful, like, nice, powerful mom message.
Exactly. Like, look, my husband died. I still got to take care of these four kids. Like, I gotta protect my peoples. And it was like so many, it is funny when I rewatched it, so many, like, I kind of want to go back and read these books now, because there's so many.
It's based on books?
Yeah. The book was called Miss Brigsby and the Rats of Nim. That was like based off like the book. That was what the book was called. But the author made like other books. I think that was connected to that world, but I need to look into it.
Nice.
Yeah. But there were so many awesome character moments for her. I was like, damn, she is. Okay, just like when Nicodemus. When he was like, okay, go back home and prepare your kids. And then there was a side mission, you know, to put some sleeping stuff in Dragon's cat food. She was about to go and, you know, be like, hey, let me rally my kids. But she stopped. She went back like, I want to help you guys with the dragon mission.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. I'm going to help you guys get shit done so I can then ultimately help my kids and help you guys help my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, from 80s cartoon movies that we've reviewed and that I can remember watching, it's funny because I think I suggested reviewing this because in my mind, it was like a dark, twisted, like scary cartoon. And then when I watched it, I was like, this isn't dark and twisted at all.
No.
This is like women getting shit done. Not relying on the men to, like, the men are going off and doing their petty little fights about who's in control, and I get to save my family and save the community. So,
This is
an awesome story, like, female empowerment.
Yes.
Remove the kid portion, because I'm anti-kid. sorry, guys. But even if you remove the kid portion, she's out to save her community, which is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
Go Brigsby.
Yeah, Brigsby 2020. I'll vote for you. Yeah, and like I said, all these like character decisions that kind of defines her as a badass. It's just like, I think what was clever about, especially it's a kid's movie, so it's like you don't really think of it being the scope of what you normally watch. You just notice certain things. Like, huh? Like this character kind of, even though it's like an animated character, like made so much complexity and layers to her character because we've seen either an action or a decision that she gotta make, or her decision defines her as a character. And I'm like, this is just a cartoon, but I'm like, when she was like, you know what, I want to help you guys with the dragon. I'm like, oh, like, this is a ride or die girl. Like, this is someone we can get behind. This is a character that's proactive. This is a character that you could tell she's a three-dimensional functioning, like, know how to make rash and strategic decisions for the sake of her family. And like you said, in the community, it's like she's thinking three steps ahead strategically behind people that's against her.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
And I know, like, they keep... The one issue I have with the movie is that they keep positioning it as, oh, your husband did these things for us, and that's why we're connected to you. But fuck the husband. She's the one that's alive. She's the one that's doing the shit right now. But everyone's like, oh, we heart you because of everything your husband did. No, she's doing shit for you too.
Yeah. I mean, but it doesn't hurt that these characters kind of like keep their word based off of a person that saved their lives technically and got them out of the, you know, the thing.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a nice intro to your husband saved us from the medical testing facility.
Yeah. So it's like it's a good fellas moment. You know, it's like the family, you know, you're part of the family. Hey, yo, we take care of you. You know, your husband did good things. You know, we got to take care of you in the family. What you want us to do? You want us to move the house or move the house? What you want us to do?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. If she's like, just come in like, hey, I'm this Frisbee mofos, like, y'all helping me. And, you know, they're like, oh, snap. Yeah, we heard you like decapitate people.
Sorry. You're right. It is very much a Sarah Connor type of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would also say it is, who's the female character in Alien?
Ripley. Yes.
If Ripley had a husband and a child,
ooh,
I feel like this would be the Ripley character also.
Yeah. And those, like, rats, whoever else trying to attack her, yeah, like, you know, yeah, Brixby would have had her flamethrower and was, like, made, you know, chicken out of those rats.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, get away from her, you bitch. So yeah, no, like I said, I got to give props because honestly, I love me some Don Bluth. All his animation, I adore to so much, to so many levels. He was such an amazing Disney animation adjacent at the time, you know, that it was so welcome because like he was free to like do his vision and his interpretation of animation and stuff like that. Yeah, he wasn't beholden to like a studio. He was like, this is the kind of animation I'm going to do, and I'm doing it.
Yeah. Right. Well, he had proposed this movie to Disney, and they said it was too dark to make commercially successful.
Yep.
And he said, F you, I'm leaving because I believe in this project. And so he left Disney to go create this project. And, you know, ironically, like a couple years later, they went and did The Black Cauldron, which is pretty dark.
Yep.
I don't know if I was like the Secret of NIMH was just the right age set for me to watch, and I'd never seen the Black Cauldron, but this is one of those films from my, or animation that from my childhood that has stuck with me for a very long time. So, yeah, you know, he knew his audience, and kudos to him.
Yeah, and yeah, he knew how to make. He had that, you know, he had that touch because, you know, then after Secret of NIMH, the next big movie he did, he hooked up with Spielberg and Amblin Entertainment. And they did a Land Before, no, I'm sorry, American Tail.
Oh, yes, American, yes.
Yeah, that was Amblin Entertainment. It was Spielberg production and Don Bluth animation. And you had an American Tail. Amazing.
I keep going on mute because I'm sneezing.
Oh, yeah. She's okay. She don't have the corona. It's fine.
No, I have smoke.
Yeah, it's smoke, guys. It's smoky out here. Super smoky out here. Hazy smoky out here. But yeah. So pretty much his up and down, like kind of. He didn't do a lot of animated films. He did American Tail, A Land Before Time, All Dogs Go to Heaven. He did Rockadoodle, Anastasia. A lot of people know Anastasia. Thumbelina. And his last big animated film, it was 2000. And we definitely one day, you know, we're gonna review it. Titan A.E. It is one of the best sci-fi films you're never gonna see. Like far as live action, it's the best It's the best animated sci-fi movie that could be live action that you're never gonna see.
It's very good.
It's so good. So good.
So, when they were creating this movie, the production budget was $6.5 million. The studio didn't have that much money to actually create it, so all the producers mortgaged their houses to raise the funds to actually pay for this film. So I imagine they made their money back, but that's that's a scary situation for all the adults out there. Not the adults, the people that, you don't have to be an adult to have a mortgage, but you know
what I'm saying. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely rolling the dice on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, so the budget was $7 million. They only made about $400,000 opening weekend, which I can imagine all the producers were like, what the fuck did we just do?
Right.
They ultimately ended up making about $14 million, so hopefully they made the money back to pay off their mortgages.
Yeah, I'm sure. If not... at the theaters, the home video sales and merchandising. I'm sure they probably got some money.
I feel like I definitely wanted a necklace with a little red glowing stone in it. If they were part of Disney, the amount of money that they would make off of red glowing stone necklaces, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know... So, yeah, so like I said, like, right. That's all right. All right, he's going stir crazy.
Yeah.
So what,
okay, so our rating is sit on the sofa, watch it with your kids, have a couple glasses of wine, help your kids with homework, virtual, like, school learning, or go to the park and get sick with corona. So how, what's your
rating? You sitting down with your kids. Now, you're sitting down, you're bolting them down. It's like, hey, this is a female story that you're never going to see in any of these movies that you're seeing now. That's my daughter's like, girl, you're going to sit down, you're going to watch this movie, you're going to be inspired. By a kick-ass mom.
I mean, I feel like, yes, sit down on the sofa, watch it with your kids, and you don't even need two glasses of wine.
No.
I mean, it's a tight, quick story. I know. I think it's an hour and a half long, but yeah. It feels like it's 20 minutes long.
Yeah, and you have Don Bluth animation, beautiful animation. Yeah.
I mean, watching it, you and the kids will be like, that's the same character from The Little Mermaid for The Crow, but whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, like I said, if you really want to have those deep conversations with your kids, this could be a great springboard for some Black Lives Matter stuff that we caught, you know, some racial and economic equality between rats and the mice. I mean, you guys can really be like, okay, Timmy, let's sit down. Let's talk about racial economic injustice, Timmy, because Secret of NIMH has opened up the doors for us to have this conversation.
Right. the brown character really helping things and the white characters who are the farmers and the medical scientists destroying people.
See?
I don't know if Bluth had that in mind, but, you know.
Of course he has.
At the end of the day, go watch Arrested Development because you're inspired by the whole Bluth family.
Exactly. Yeah. But don't do what the Bluths do. Don't do that. There's always money in a banana stand. Always. Yeah, so there you have it, everyone. The Secret of NIMH, a classic, a non-Disney animated classic that needs to be seen if you haven't seen. If you have kids, if you haven't shown them Secret of NIMH, what is wrong with you? I'm calling DCFS. I question you as a parent. Like, you have to have them watch, you know, Secret of NIMH. Yeah.
I mean, today, as we're filming this, I definitely told one of my friends that they should make their kids watch it. So
nice. So many layers. So many layers. Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, have a good and safe rest of your week. Going into the weekend, we'll see you on the flip side next Tuesday. Until next Tuesday, wish everyone safe physical distancing and.
Wear a mask.
Peace.